Welcome back to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that's almost guaranteed to make your day a little brighter and happier. With me today is the prestigious Karen Jones, New York Times and internationally best-selling author.
And our other host, who's always here too, is Sean Farrar. Sean used to be a cop, but now he's not. And now he's a business owner, an all-around awesome human and dog owner. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is about giving you life tips and writing tips and helping you have a quirky, happy, what, Sean, life? Quirky, happy life.
Existence, occasional writing career.
All of that right here with us. So like, subscribe, share, be weird.
And own a dog.
And own many.
Random thought time.
Random thought in the car.
Jeez, I'm a crow, woman.
What? Oh, shut off the radio.
Sneak up on me with that recorder like that.
Alright,
so
I obviously can, because I just did.
Yeah.
Boom.
So what do you want to
know? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Oh!
Now, if I do it on purpose, why don't I get the same reaction because the recorder's on? You didn't put your foot on the dashboard.
It didn't feel real, because I knew you were looking straight ahead at the car.
You didn't sound like a cat with its tail under the rocking chair.
No one knows what we're talking about.
Go ahead and tell her. She doesn't trust my driving whatsoever.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
All right.
And you can't even say it's the other drivers I don't trust, because it's always the people in front of us.
All right, so this is what I think it is. Apparently, we're having a random thought in the car right now. And I have a tendency to freak out a lot because I think we're going to rear-end other people all the time. And that's because I only see with one eye and I have no depth perception, A. But B, you know, like how they talk about fight or flight? I have a really heightened fight or flight, and it's flight, baby, most of the time. And I think that's the only reason my ancestors survived, because we freak out super easily. Like, I was coming out of the bathroom of a restaurant the other day, and someone was coming in, I opened the door, and she was right there at the threshold, and I was right at the threshold, and I screamed.
Did
you scream? Yes, and I did a Muppet flail, and I bent backwards and leapt at the same time, and the other lady was like, oh my god, sorry for the Lord name in vain thing, but she was like, oh my god, I am so sorry, are you okay? And I was like,
I didn't see it, but you guys definitely stood there and laughed and talked about it for like 10 minutes.
Oh, it was so bad. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm just one of those people who freak out really easily. And it's true.
It's true.
It's really true. Like, if I'm watching a movie and there's a fight scene, I duck. I duck like I'm the other character trying not to get hit by the fist. I do that, like, when I was a kid and I played, like, when I was playing video games and stuff. Do you even call them video games anymore?
I think they do.
All right. That seems like an antiquated term, honestly.
I think it's still sticking.
Weird. But I would, like, you know, I bob and dodge and weave, like, and all we had was a joystick, because I was so much a weirdo.
You're just into it, baby.
But I think that's just in my DNA, and that's how my people survive, because look at us, we're not warriors. How did we survive that long?
I don't know. Thanks for the story, baby.
Well, are you gonna talk?
I didn't really have a chance. I didn't want to say anything negative about it during your storytelling.
Okay, well, you can now, I guess.
No,
why would you only say negative things?
Well,
what happened to positivity?
Well, it's because
I don't know. There's nothing positive about that, really. The way you screech hurts my ears. If I ever do rear end anybody, you're going to get cut in half by the airbag because one of your legs is up on the dashboard.
I brace for impact, and I know that's wrong. Emily yelled at me about that, too. My daughter Emily yelled at me because she was like, the airbag is going to kill you. Put your foot down. Put your foot down. And I was like, but I'm bracing. I just instinctively brace.
Yeah, on the floor, honey. On the floor.
I do that in airplanes, too.
Well, it doesn't matter. In an airplane.
I know. Well, there's got to be something about you.
Coast on this coastal route.
We're on a coastal route in Maine, and we haven't seen any ocean.
It's not like we haven't driven it before, but gosh, I guess I just forgot.
Yeah, we're behind a Prius.
Yeah, Priuses are awesome.
Prius puts his brake lights on a lot, and then I freak out a lot. Very soon, Sean will divorce me for my freak outingness.
That's not true. Right? Oh, I'm used to that.
Riding to of the pod.
So that random thought time was a little embarrassing for me.
Why is that?
Oh, I don't know.
No, really.
Because A, I depicted myself as an anxious screecher from a long line of anxious screechers. And you had a lot of sighing, and you sounded very beleaguered.
It wasn't beleaguered. You were just talking and I didn't want to interrupt you. And then I could tell as soon as I filled that gap with my word or whatever, you'd be ready to go again. And it was working out smooth. Smooth as silk.
Except for the fact that you seem so beleaguered.
No, I wasn't beleaguered at all.
And I'm a screeching, anxious wreck.
I didn't call you that.
No, I'm calling myself that.
Sometimes.
But the saddest part is, like, I felt like listening to that there's no room for growth for me, that I'm always going to be that anxious wreck.
Well, you are the one that said those characteristics and others that are closely related are what has got you your family this far.
That's true.
So apparently you can't change.
Which brings us to the writing tips of the pod. There's this author named Gwen Hayes who has this book all about writing romances, but I think a lot of her elements really apply to more genres and our own lives than what she was writing about. And one of those elements is what she calls being wholehearted. It's when the lovers at the end of the book get together and you think, wow, they've grown. They're no longer beleaguered and an anxious wreck. Look at how big their hearts are now. Look at how different their lives are now. Those are some wholehearted people right there. You're laughing.
Oh, you make us out to be such an old couple. So, your name's anxious and beleaguered, and mine is... No, yours is anxious.
Oh, my word.
Mine's beleaguered.
Hi, I'm anxious.
I'm anxious.
No, you're beleaguered.
No, I'm anxious now.
Anyways, being a wholehearted character is what a positive story with a happy ending is about. It's about making those characters wholehearted and allowing us readers to see their journey to that place, kind of like this podcast. And there's a line from a song. Don't you laugh? He's laughing. Because I'm being super.
Nobody's following the journey of this podcast. It's all over the place.
Dude, it's straight line. It's a straight line. So there's a line in the song from Hamilton that always resonates with me because I'm old. And it goes, look at where we are, look at where we started. And then there's like two more lines that give it context. But those lyrics get me because they're really true. Life is this process, and we start at one point and we move on to another point. And when we look back and take stock of what's happened, that's when those wow moments happen. And that needs to happen in books too, right, Sean?
That's right. No, you look back behind you and you're like, wow, I should have screwed that up.
No, it's not supposed to be negative. You're supposed to be like, hey, I don't live in a trailer anymore. If you're against living in a trailer. Or you're like, hey, remember when I didn't have my diploma? I have that now. I've grown. Or hey, I used to hate public speaking, but now I'm good at it. Right. Like, don't you have those moments?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to share one?
No.
Share one, man.
Share one?
Yeah.
I can steal a diploma.
Well, you can do whatever you want.
Because I didn't get a college diploma until I was old as hell.
Heck.
Heck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a growth moment.
And did you feel accomplished and good when you got your diploma? You got it in the mail, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is it on a wall anywhere?
Oh.
Is it in a blue bin in the garage?
Probably.
But anyways,
I can put my hand on it in 4 days or less.
How about emotionally? Aren't there ways that you've grown emotionally?
Oh, well, hell yeah.
Like what?
I don't know.
You gotta... Dude, people listen to podcasts for the stories, and you're, like, totally blocking. You're, like, a bad improv scene.
I need a writing prompt.
Here's your writing prompt. Tell us about a time that you grow emotionally.
Once you fill in the gap here, I'll come in right after you.
All right. So when you're trying to show that your fake characters in your stories have grown and become wholehearted, a really good way to bring that difference home for the reader is to set up a mirror image at this wholehearted point of the book that reflects something that started happening. Does that make sense? Started happening? That reflects something that happened in the beginning of your book, basically. So, like, if in the beginning of a series, a wizard gets on a train and goes to magical school, at the end of the series, when the wizard is wholehearted and grown, the wizard could be sending his own son off on that same train. In the beginning of a book, if the girl's riding in her grandmother's car on her way into the remote Maine woods and sees a man pointing at her, you can mirror that later at the end of the book when the girl drives her own car through those same woods and a man waves goodbye. And she gives him the finger or something. But see what I mean? Like, it shows... You use both of those events and mirror it to show the growth and change in the character, right?
Right.
Did you think of an emotional growth moment yet?
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm going to keep talking. So the thing is that this isn't just true for our characters. It's also true for us, or most of us, who are capable of introspection. A lot of times we believe lies. I couldn't say that. You're not being very supportive right here.
Okay. Great job.
Okay, so a lot of times we believe lies about ourselves. We think that the opinion of a random critic or a critique or a single publisher or a reader means more than our own process. This isn't about switching up a plot structure. It's about letting a rejection or a criticism... I can't say criticism either today. We let that change our whole story. And our whole entire identity, right?
Yeah.
We stop believing in our creative purpose or our skill and in ourselves, right? Instead of trying to improve our craft, we give up altogether and we internalize the criticism from like, hey, Arthur Levine didn't like my story, to I am a failure, I suck, and I should never write again.
And that is not true.
No.
People should never do that.
Oh, yeah. That's, thank you. Jeez.
You know. What?
I thought you were being Captain Contrary again.
Oh, no. Don't let one little term shoot, whatever. You know, it's a negative event.
Right.
That's so small in the big story.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to trying to get published.
Yeah, and you can't let that make a big moment in your story. Like that tiny criticism, you can't let it be your story.
That's right.
Because that's not wholehearted. That's not where your journey should be. Like, look at how much better you are than when you were 5, 10, 15, 20 years old. And you should be proud of how much you've grown and accomplished. Even if that's just knowing that a lot is two words and not one. That's growth. Being able to spell quiet, not quite. That's growth.
That's my growth moment. you stole my thunder.
Dude, you didn't even remember it.
I was thinking of it as you were getting into that little grammar sentence there. And spelling, actually. But that was a huge deal for me. Quiet, quit.
I know.
No. I suckered you. You don't even remember. Because it was quiet and quit.
Dude, I can't talk today, so nothing is like sucking me.
I got it. I know the reason for that, too.
Why?
We're out of our element.
Oh, we're not in the camper?
No, we're back at our house for just today.
Well, the week. Yeah.
As far as podcasts are concerned, just this one.
Yeah.
And it's throwing us. It's so quiet. The dogs aren't barking. All right, let's get back to the meat and potatoes of this podcast.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
We're going to move on.
Dog tip for life. So I asked Sparty if he's grown in the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Since he's been your dog and then our dog.
Oh.
Mostly still your dog. And he's laughed at me so long and hard. Because he's grown so much. It's like...
Are you talking about his girth? Because that's mean.
No.
Oh, all right.
I wasn't. No. God. He's talking about not having to go around and beg from people. To knowing he's going to get a little food every morning.
What? No. Are you talking about how...
His growth is about trust. But I'm sorry. Interrupted.
It's all right.
No, go ahead. With that sigh and eye roll, you definitely deserve to go ahead.
Well, I think what you're initially saying is that Sparty used to be a dog of the streets, and if he looks back at where he started and where he is now, the fact that he's alive is a miracle, just like the Hamilton song.
Yeah.
And he's so happy now because he doesn't have to scavenge, right?
Isn't that part of a song, too?
The scavenging part?
No, he's so happy now.
That's probably another song somewhere. I don't know, man.
No, he doesn't have scavenge. He's got a lot more self-confidence. He's able to stand still when he pees.
No, he's not. He still pees when he's walking. He's lying.
Yeah. Dog. But I mean, look at him lying next to you. He's grown a lot. He's a professional napper.
He is. He's way more mellow now. And for Gabby, she's not necessarily more mellow.
Nope.
But she's a lot.
More loving.
And well, she's kind of an example of truly being wholehearted, if you think about it. Like, her story is such a romantic story because she was tied up and impoverished and malnourished.
Yep.
And... afraid of everyone.
She never love anybody again.
Yeah. And all she is about love.
That's right.
She leans into you when you and wants you to hug her. And dogs hate hugs, allegedly. But not Gabby.
No.
And if she looked at where she started, what would she think about where she started?
I hate it. She does hate it. She told me before.
Oh, really?
Chained up to a tree. It's like living in a dirt donut.
Oh my gosh.
You can only run around the entire chain in a circle.
A dirt donut is so descriptive.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So how can we live wholeheartedly like our doggies?
Sleep more. Eat more. Get out of the dirt donut.
Yeah, man. No dirt donuts anymore.
That wasn't very inspirational.
Yes, it was. It was. It was poignant. It's poignant.
Yeah. All right.
Are you done talking?
Well, I was going to say PAF, but then I realized I could poignant as...
Oh, yeah. You can't say that word. Poignant as farts.
That's right. Listen, before she cuts me off, be sure to join us next week for more
poignant
helpful
farts.
Advice interspersed with some antics. Or maybe it's the other way around.
'Cause and listening to another episode of our goofy podcast, Dogs Are Smarter Than People. If you want to hear the writing tips in non-goofy form, they are on the RSS feed, Dogs Are Smarter Than People, and they can also be found at carriejonesbooks.blog.
Or even carriejonesbooks.com.
Yeah, I think so, man.
If they're really careful and pick around, yeah. Root around in there.
Yeah, root.
What else do we want to say?
Please like, share, and subscribe.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, man. And I have two new books out, and that's kind of awesome. One is a middle grade called Time Stoppers, and one is the paperback book of a young adult novel called Enhanced, about a cheerleader who saves the world from aliens. And finally, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license.
Well, NPR.
And the song...
Hey, that's gonna be your new nickname.
No, it's not.
NPR.
No, it's
not. See, I say these things, and then we know who's listening when they call you NPR.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, that song was Night Owl, and it's by Broke for Free. Best name ever.
Yeah, it is. Hey, wait, don't stop it. I got one more thing to say.
All right.
Her
That's
frog.
Unusual.
So.
Wait, say it again.
Her books raw. Her books are rocking.
I thought you said you were rot. Her books are rot.
No, I said her books rock.
Oh. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, the listener who stayed this long.
Oh, shoot. I thought you were saying that to me.